praying for you. Amen. Amen. Anyone else? Let's turn our Bibles tonight to the book of Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Nehemiah, chapter number 2. Father, we want to thank you tonight for the presence we've already felt here in your house. Thank you, Father, you're still mindful of your people. Father, you know what we have need of. Lord, I pray that you would do that, that it's pleasing to your Son, that brings glory and honor to your name. And God, we'll thank you for all you do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Nehemiah chapter number 2. We know the book of Nehemiah, the book of Ezra, is two books about the captivity of God's people. Nehemiah is in captivity. Nebuchadnezzar has came and he has led them to captivity. Jerusalem lies in waste. We know that the temple has been destroyed. The walls are broken down. God's children are in exile. Ezra has now left captivity. He's went back to build the temple, the house of God. And God places in the heart of one man by the name of Nehemiah to rebuild the city walls. God has placed this burden of this man to the place and God's people. And I was thinking this morning as our pastor was preaching about a burden and giving a burden and having a burden that God would give us a burden about this place and his people. A place where we can come, a place where we can exalt Christ, a place where sinners can be saved, it'll be a house of prayer, a place where we can worship and we feel free to uplift and promote Jesus Christ, but also about a people, a people that's lost, as a sister already said, our young people, those that are hurting, those that are in need, and those that are wanting something this world cannot give. Nehemiah is now returning to his country. He's heard about all that's went on, the desolation, the ruins, the rubble, the total destruction, how everything is ravished. And now Nehemiah has gone. He's scoped the land. He's seen the city walls. He's seen the destruction. And he's given his men a report in verse number 17 of chapter number 2. Chapter 2, Nehemiah. The Bible says, "Then said I unto them, ye see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lieth waste. The gates therefore are burned with fire. Come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, that we be no more a reproach." He gives this report to his men. It's a bad report. It's a demeaning report. It's a report that looks grim, a report that looks bad, a report that's terrible. Everything is in desolation. Everything's in ruin. And he gives this report to, let's begin to build. Let's begin to do God's work. And I want to see some things here tonight that Nehemiah reports to his men. I want to say, number one, he reports that the walls are broken down and the gates are burned. Verse number 13, the Bible says, "And I went out by night by the gate of the valley, even before the dragon well, and to the dung port, and viewed the walls of Jerusalem, which are broken down, and the gates thereof were consumed with fire." First time that Nehemiah sees, his eyes have beheld the report he's given. He's saying the walls that once fortified this great city, The gates that once stopped the unwanted, that kept the enemy out, is now burned down and broken down. He said the walls are in rubble and the charred remains of the gates are now in view. This is the first time he lays his eyes on the gates, on the city, and on the walls. This city's ravished. It's total destruction. It's total ruin. The Bible said it lies in waste, debris, and rubble everywhere. These gates, these walls that once stood strong, that once stood tall, that once were upheld and upright, that kept the enemy out, that kept the enemy at bay, that kept the enemy outside, it kept the people safe, broken down. And you know what gates are for? You know what walls are for? It's not to keep God's people in, but it's to keep the enemy and the unwanted on the outside. But now, the enemy, the unwanted, any beast, any stranger, any foreigner that comes to oppose and do destructive plans because the walls are broken down, because the gates are burned, they can come right in. Let me say tonight, we're living in a country that the walls are broken down and the gates are burned. I'm not speaking about immigration or I'm not speaking about border security, but I'm speaking about we've invited everything, we've welcomed everything, we've encouraged everything, anything and everything in our land. Any sin, any immoral living, anything goes. And we also are living in a church age where the walls are broken down and the gates are burned. We have welcomed, we have lowered our standards. Carnality has been to creep into our churches and we've become more and more like the world. Nehemiah tells his men, he tells those that are there to help him, that the walls are broken down and the gates have been burned. It's a bad report. It's a bad sight. It's a terrible report. But now he's saying that not only the walls are broken down, not only the gates are burned, but he's saying the enemy is barking. Verse number 19. He says in verse 19, but when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the servant the Amorite and Geshem the Arabian, they laughed us to scorn and despised us and said, what is this thing that you do? Will you rebel against the king? Now Nehemiah is saying, men, not only are these gates being burnt, not only the walls are broken down, he's saying the enemy is barking. This enemy is laughing at us. They're laughing us to scorn. They despise us. They're oppressing us. They're saying making us feel mocked. They make us feel foolish. They make us feel shamed. In chapter number 4, he talks about Sanballat. When he heard that they were going to build, he was full of wrath. He was full of indignation, and he began to mock the Jews. Here's two men of influential clout. They had prestige. Tobiah, he was a man that was a chief of the returning. He was a man that had great authority. He was a man that had great influence. He held a high, exalted position. Sanballat, his name means strength. He was a lofty man, a high man, a strong man, one of prestige and clout. These, I want to say tonight, they were the elites. They were the elites, those in a society that were higher and loftier and seemed better than everyone else. And they're laughing at the children of God. They're making fun of their work. They're mocking their desire. They're berating their determination. They're mocking their dedication. This enemy is barking at Nehemiah. And let me say, they're still barking today. They're mocking God and mocking God's children. Let me give you an example of a modern-day Sanballat and a modern-day Tobiah. The elites that mock God. The elites that mock God's children, you and I. This past year, April 13th, 2020, during a press conference, the governor of New York made a statement about the COVID spread in the city of New York. This is his statement, and I quote, "The number is down because we brought the number down. God did not do that. Faith did not do that. Destiny did do that. A lot of pain and suffering did that." It's humanism mocking God. It's humanism mocking you and I tonight. They're saying God's not in charge. God's not the source of my comfort. God's not the source of my strength. God's not the source of my help. He's not the source that keeps me going on. But all I need is what lies within. All I need is me, my own God. I'm my own idol. That's what he's saying. Tobiah, Sanballat, they're barking at Nehemiah and God's children. And I want to say tonight, you and I were a minority. You and I were outnumbered. You and I were looked down upon, were despised, and were laughing at and being laughed at scorn. The enemy is barking. The walls are being broken down. The gates are being burned. And now I see this work to do is beyond belief. Verse 17, he tells them how Jerusalem lieth in waste. The gates therefore are burnt with fire. He said, now come, let us build up the wall of Jerusalem, and we be no more a reproach. The time, the effort, the labor, the distress of building these walls, of rebuilding these gates, it would take the rest of the book of Nehemiah to accomplish. There's going to be oppression. There's going to be adversity. People's going to murmur. The labor's going to be hard. It's going to be brat-breaking work. In verse 17 of chapter 4, it tells us that they bared this great burden. They were working with one hand. They were laboring with one hand. They were building with one hand. And they had one hand on their weapon. It was hard work, back-breaking work, time-consuming work. It's going to be tough work. There's going to be enemies all around. A lot of problems are going to be coming. It's going to be a lot of work to do. This work is going to be well beyond belief. The enemy is barking. The gates are burnt down. The walls are broken. We see it's a bad report, terrible report. The enemy is coming. I don't know what we're going to do. It looks bad on the horizon. But I want to preach tonight on what he tells his men in verse number 18. He tells these men, this report looks bad. I've heard about all that's went on in Jerusalem. I've heard about these walls. I've heard about the desolation, the destruction, the rubble, the ruins, all the work, the enemy. But this is what I want to tell my men tonight in verse number 18. Then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. He's telling all the bad things. Enemies barking. Walls are broken down. Gates are burned. A lot of work to do beyond belief. But in spite of all that, God has been good to me. I want to say tonight, God has been good to me. He's been good to you. He's been good to this church. He's been good to this country despite the shape we are in. God has been good to me. I think you'd all agree tonight. You can all testify, those that are saved. America is being broken down. Turmoil is on every hand. Due to the unknown, due to fear, God's children are scattered. We see the church, the way we assemble, the way we fellowship, the way we sing, the way we operate has been altered. On the horizon, it looks like the enemy is prevailing and the enemy is prevalent. Looking on the earthly horizon, it looks awful bad. It looks awful bleak. It looks like men are getting worse and worse, seducing spirits. But in spite of all that, God has been good to us. There's a God in heaven tonight, one that's almighty, one that's omnipotent, one that's all-knowing, one that's just, one that's holy, one that's righteous, one that's altogether lovely, full of tender mercies and tender compassions, that has been good to you and I. Verse number 18, he tells them, then I told them of the hand of my God, which was good upon me. Nehemiah, the walls are broken down. That's okay. God's been good to me. Nehemiah, the gates are burnt. That's all right. God's been good to me. Nehemiah, the enemy is barking. They're laughing us to scorn. They're giving us a hard time. That's okay, men. God has been good to me. Nehemiah, the work to do is well beyond belief. That's all right. God has been good to me. Three things and I'm done tonight. How could Nehemiah say such a thing? The city he loved, the people he loved, is it ravished? They're in ruins. How could he say a statement like this? Nehemiah, is he just being optimistic? Is he just trying to look on the sunny side of life? What is Nehemiah's, what is his motive in saying a statement like God being good to us? I think there's three things that Nehemiah says, that Nehemiah thinks, and Nehemiah views that is relevant and prevalent to you and I tonight. Number one, Nehemiah, how can you say God has been good to me? I say number one, because the king let him go free. Verse number one, chapter two, the Bible says that it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of Artaxerxes the king, that wine was before him, and I took up the wine and gave unto the king. Now had not been before time sad in his presence. Wherefore the king said unto me, why is thy countenance sad, seeing thou art not sick? Is there nothing else but sorrow for the heart? Then I was very sore afraid, and said unto the king, let the king live forever, why should not my countenance be sad, when the city of the place of my father's sepulchres lieth waste, and the gates thereof are consumed with fire? Then the king said unto me, for what doest thou make request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said unto the king, if it please the king, and if thy servant have found favor in thy sight, that thou wouldest send me to Judah, unto the city of my father's sepulchre, that I may build it. Here it is, verse number six. And the king said unto me, and the queen sitting by him, for how long shall thy journey be, and when will thou return? So it pleased the king to send me. Nehemiah is telling his men, out of all that's going on, as bad as it looks, God's been good to me because the king let me go free. Nehemiah, in our text we just read, he's troubled. He comes before the king brokenhearted. He's upset. He's troubled in his soul. He has this sad countenance. A heavy weight is upon him. He's burdened, weighted down. And the king asks him, why is thy countenance so sad, seeing thou art not sick? And Nehemiah says, I've heard about a city that once stood strong, that once stood fortified, that the walls are burnt down, and the people are in trouble. That destruction has come to Jerusalem. That the people there are in great affliction, and they're in great approach. The city lieth in waste. And, O king, it troubles me so much. He's telling the king, king, I'm a captive. I've been a captive for many years. I'm nothing more than a cupbearer. I'm nothing more than a slave. I'm under your authority. I'm under your rule. And I'm under your judgment. But king, I sure would like if you would let me go free. I sure would like, king, if you'd let me go back to Jerusalem. If you'd let me do that, what God wants me to do. If you'd let me go free and serve God to my best ability. And verse number six, the end of the verse, the Bible says, so it pleased the king to send me. God has been good to Jeremiah. In spite of all the destruction, in spite of all the turmoil, and in spite of all that's going on in the land, because he comes before the king with a burden, he comes before the king broken, and he realizes he can never be free unless the king pardons him. Let me say tonight, I remember the time when I thought everything was okay. Nehemiah, he was a servant, no doubt. He was a captive. He was the cupbearer. He was close to the king. He knew about the king. He read about the king. He had a relationship with the king. He thought everything was okay. He was doing just fine. He was there in the king's court. But he realized one day through a troubling, through a burden, through conviction. And he began to question, am I really at the right place that I need to be? Like Nehemiah, I remember the time, the place where I thought everything was okay. I thought everything in my captivity was just fine. But there was a day that God, the Holy Ghost, began to burden me, began to trouble me, began to turn me and convict me. And I realized that everything was not well with my soul. And I found myself, just as Nehemiah finds himself, standing before the king, making a request. I found myself, not before King Artaxerxes, but I found myself before King Jesus. And in chapter number 2, verse number 4, the Bible says, so I prayed to the God of heaven. February 11th, 2001, I found myself broken, burdened, convicted, troubled in my soul before the King of heaven. I prayed to the God of heaven. You say, preacher, what did he do? He set me free. He let me go free. He saved my soul. And when Nehemiah comes before this king, Nehemiah's sentence is commuted. His papers are pardoned. We find his record is wiped clean, and he is free to go. The youth choir sang about it this morning. Like a bird out of prison, it's taken its flight. Like a blind man that God gave back his sight. Like a poor wretched beggar that's found fortune and fame. I'm so glad I found out that he could bring me out through his holy name. Thank God I am free, free, free from this world of sin. Washed in the blood of Jesus, I've been born again. Hallelujah, I'm saved, saved, saved by his wonderful grace. Tonight, you can be here. You may be a captive. You may be thinking everything's okay. You're a slave to sin, a self. You're a slave to Satan. And you're maybe even troubled in your heart. But the good thing, you can find yourself just like Nehemiah, standing before a kind-hearted king full of grace and truth. And you can find that this God can set you free. Everything's looking bad. Walls, gates are burnt, enemies barking, the work's well beyond belief. And Nehemiah say, amen, God's been good to me because the king has let me go free. I'm thankful I'm free tonight. Nehemiah, why has God been so good to you? Because the king let me go free. Number two, let me say, because the king gave me letters to read. Verse number 7. The Bible says, moreover, I said unto the king, if it please the king, let letters be given me to the governors beyond the river, that they may convey me over till I come to Judah. And the letter unto Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he may give me timbers to make beams for the gate of the palace, which appeared to the house and the wall of the city, for the house that I shall enter into. And the king granted me according to the good hand of God upon me. Then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Nehemiah, how can you say such a thing that God's been so good to you? Because he's saying that the king has gave me letters to read. They're not Nehemiah's orders. They're not Nehemiah's words. They're not Nehemiah's mandates. But there's letters for the king. Nehemiah, he comes to this land carrying the king's letters. These words I wrote would give Nehemiah confidence. The letters of the king would give Nehemiah peace. The letters of the king was going to give Nehemiah comfort. These letters of the king was going to give Nehemiah hope. Nehemiah, I can just see as he possessed these letters, as he held these letters in his hand, I can just imagine him reading these letters, opening these letters, viewing them and saying, The king's word says that we can do it. The king's word has given us permission. The king's word says that all I want or all I need will be there to help me. You see, whatever Nehemiah needed as he passed through those lands, if he found opposition, if he found the enemy, or if he found a need or help, all he would say is, they're not my words, but these are letters from the king, and they would be granted to Nehemiah. May I say tonight, suggest to you tonight, you don't have just a few letters tonight, but you have 66 canonized letters from God in your hand. We have 39 of the old, 27 of the new that make up His holy word. And whatever we need, this Bible, the King James Bible, is there to guide us, to comfort us, to give us peace, to give us hope, to help us on this way home. Nehemiah, you're going to need a safe passage. That's okay. I have King's letters. You don't need things for timbers and building materials, things to grow. That's okay. I'll just show it to Ahaz. These are the king's letters. You'll need some things along your journey. That's okay, men. I have the king's letters. I just want to say tonight I'm thankful for God's holy word. God's been good to us. God set us free. God's let us go free. God's given us letters to read. Let me say number three. Nehemiah could say that God's been good to him because the king lavished him with grace. Verse number 9. It says, then I came to the governors beyond the river and gave them the king's letters. Here it is. Now the king had sent captains of the army and horsemen with me. Nehemiah's free to go. Nehemiah has a copy of the king's letters. Nehemiah now comes prepared. He has supplies of timber and lumber. He has captains of the armies by his side. He has horsemen. He has a few of these men. The king supplied Nehemiah. He's given to Nehemiah. He's blessed Nehemiah. And not because Nehemiah deserved it or merited it, because the king lavished him with grace. Let me say tonight, God's lavished you and I with grace. He's given to us. He's blessed us. He's given us grace upon grace upon grace. Not because we merit it. Not because we're members of the church. Not because we live in America. Not because we've been baptized. But because He is a gracious, kind God. Grace He gives us. Grace to keep us. Grace to help us. Grace to comfort us. Grace to heal us. Grace to calm us. Grace to see us safely home. There's a song that we used to sing. I've always had a place to sleep, clothes to wear, and food to eat. God has been so good to me. I thank you, Lord, for mom and dad, the best friends I've ever had. God has been so good to me. God has been so good to me, and I'm thankful for a fine family, this church where I attend, for all my Christian friends. God has been good to me. God lavished Nehemiah. He's given us grace. He's given Nehemiah letters. He's gave us the Word of God. He's let Nehemiah go free. He's let you and I go free. And we can say tonight, even though the walls of America, the walls of this church are broken down, the gates are being burnt, the enemy's barking, their work to do is well beyond belief, that God has been good to us. Let's stand tonight. Kids got something to see. Father, we want to thank you tonight that we can proclaim that you have been good to us. Lord, we don't deserve, we don't merit, Father, we don't need all the things that you give, but still you find it pleasing to give us grace. Lord, you saved us from our sin. You saved us from hell. You saved us, Father, and wrote our names in the Lamb's Book of Life. We want to thank you for that, Father, for letting us go free. And Lord, no doubt we live in a time and a place where the enemy on every hand is raising their head. They're barking, Father. They're opposing. And Father, I just want to thank you for all you've done for us, keeping us safe. Father, you've helped us and you comfort us and you led us. And Father, I just want to thank you for being so good to us. Lord, there may be someone here tonight that's lost, that doesn't know what it's like to be set free, that's never been saved by the grace of God, that's never bowed their knee, bowed their head, and asked to forgive them of their sin. I pray, Father, this would be the time, the hour, the place, Father, that you would grant it. Lord, I pray that your work would be done in our lives. And Lord, as we look at the horizon, we realize that things may look black and bleak. Things are ravished and seems like everything's in turmoil. But Father, since we're a child of God, you've been good to us. And we want to thank you for it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This altar is open. Whatever your need is, maybe you just want to come and thank him for being so good to you.